Live from New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Ross Tucker on CBS Sports Radio.
We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Ross Tucker starting off hour number two on a Thursday, my first time filling in for Jim Rome. This is wild, by the way. This is awesome. I'm not used to it. It's been an hour, but I'm still not used to it. Not only hearing him come back with that music and say, with guest host Ross Tucker, which is just amazing, but also the interaction I'm getting from you guys on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. It's been phenomenal. I got to give a shout out, by the way, to my guy Don Holbrook, who last night, okay, I did a speaking engagement in my hometown of Reading, Pennsylvania. And then I start driving up here, and I'm going to get to your calls in a second. 855-212-4227. We'll have Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. She will join us in about 20 minutes. I want to get the pulse of what's going on in Cleveland. But I got to read you this one tweet from Don Holbrook. So last night, I had an intern make a graphic of me filling in for Jim the next 2 days. I posted on social media last night, tried to get people fired up, tried to give them a heads up, whatever. And Don Holbrook said, "Hope you have a take and don't suck." Thank you, Don. Your support and kindness means a lot to me with this opportunity. So thank you, Don, very much. I appreciate that. Getting a lot of tweets. Double M says the Chargers uniform, any version of it, is the best. It's not. I love the Chargers uniform. The Raiders have the best uniform in sports. They do. I always thought it'd be awesome to play for the Raiders. It'd be awesome to wear the silver and black. In fact, the one time I played at Oakland Alameda Coliseum, and I post this picture all the time on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL, because I'm laying in the infield. It was September. So we were stretching pregame, and I'm laying in the dirt infield, which is hilarious. I look like a beached whale or something at 320 pounds. But I knew it might be my only time ever in Oakland. So I went during pregame warmups. I went right up to the black hole. And I was like, I went right up to the guys with the spikes and the whole deal. And I got within like 5 feet of them, and I was like, is this it? This is the black hole? And they were all like, reaching out after me. I just wanted to experience, I wanted to get the full throttle experience, right? I wanted to really enjoy it. That's what life's about, by the way. Life's for living. If you're only going to be in the black hole once, go over and piss off the black hole. But piss off Raider Nation. See what they really got for you. That was my black hole experience. They got the best uniforms. We'll talk, by the way, about the Raiders with Vic Tafer. They play tonight. Josh McDaniels is their head coach back in his hometown of Canton, Ohio. Vic Tafer covers the team. He'll join us in the final hour. Looking forward to talking with Vic. Looking forward to talking with Mary Kay Cabot in about 15 minutes. But first, let's get to some of the clones. Let's get to some of your calls. I really want to know whether or not you really care about Deshaun Watson's punishment. And if the answer is no, I don't know that you have much to say. You can tell me why or why not. If the answer is yes, I want to know why it personally means a lot to you. I'd be very curious to know what the answer is to that. And then, what is the right number? Because I have a theory on this. Let's start with Stuart, who's in Arizona. Stuart, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. And by the way, you're doing a great job. I hope Jim brings you back again.
Oh, thank you, Stuart. Spread the word, bro. Tell everybody you know.
I will. The number of games isn't as important to me because I think that penalizes the rest of the team and his teammates more than it penalizes him. I think the rest of his punishment, which really doesn't exist, is not enough. I don't think a dollar fine means anything to him. That's gonna make $200 million. I think it should be a dollar. I think he should be required to do, whether it be 10, 100, whatever it is, a certain number of hours per accuser in community service that are monitored. I think he should be required to make, again, for each number, each of the accusers, make a some kind of a donation to a women's group or something like that, a dollar amount to donations, and do public speaking. I think he should have to issue a public apology. And the reason it means something to me is I think a lot of kids, a lot of young men look up to him in terms of his ability, and I don't think he needs to, I don't think he should be looked up as a hero because he gets away with this stuff. I think it sets a bad example for other players and other and kids that look up to him.
Stuart, this is a great first call for me, man. I really appreciate you giving me a buzz. Thank you so much, and I encourage other people to chime in. Remember, it's a different number than Jim's normal number because I'm here in New York, 855-212-4227. He said a number of things there that really resonated with me, one of which is that Deshaun Watson's time is more valuable to him than money. Now, I think there should be a fine, and he should lose some money for it because the way the Browns structured the contract, or actually, the way Deshaun Watson's agent structured the contract through the Browns, okay, is such that he doesn't really lose very much money. The six-game suspension is like $350,000 because his salary is the minimum. So it's $350,000 of a $240 million fully guaranteed contract. So they need to fine him some money so people know he lost some money for this. He already lost other money by settling all these lawsuits. He settled 23 of the 24 lawsuits. But what I like that Stewart said was the time. He absolutely should have to volunteer time for women's groups. I don't know what other groups there could be. A sex offenders list, women who have been abused. I don't know what it is. I'm not smart enough to know the nature of all those groups, but he should absolutely have to donate time, a lot of time, to get the message out about the proper way to treat a woman. And the biggest thing for me, though, that Stewart didn't mention, counseling. This guy needs counseling. Have you guys read the reports of what he did? It's gross. He's a weirdo. That's like the best way to describe it. He's got like a weird fetish with new massage therapists. When you read the written accounts, and again, Jenny Vrentis from the New York Times did a great job with this, it is bizarre. It's gross. He's a weirdo. He needs help. Like, that's not normal. What he did is not normal, especially when you're Deshaun Watson and you got all this money and you're famous and you can get almost any girl you want in the first place. He didn't want to just go pick up girls or get them on social media like other people do. He wanted it to be an uncomfortable situation. He wanted it to be awkward for them. That's what he gets off on. It's gross. He needs help. Why doesn't everybody ever talk about that part of it? And by the way, he still doesn't think he did anything wrong, which is even more evidence that he needs help. And I feel like that should be part of any settlement talk too, is that he comes out and admits that he did something wrong. Because he did. I don't believe 24 women are liars, and neither did Judge Sue Robinson, who read a lot more stuff about it than I did. Let's get to Greg. He's in Washington, D.C. What's up, Greg?
Hey, how you doing, bro?
Good. What's up, man? What's on your mind?
Deshaun Watson is a little bit more than a weirdo. He's a sexual predator. And in my opinion, he should never be allowed to touch an NFL football again because he should have been prosecuted, but because he has so much money and, you know, there's no physical evidence, hearsay, you know, they don't prosecute him. And the way the Browns structure his contract is another thing. You know, he's just like a slap on the wrist, and it enables that type of behavior again. And like you said, he's never, you know, came out and said, I'm sorry, apologized to women. He sits there and owns it like he did nothing wrong. You know, one time, two times, maybe you can call a woman a liar, but 24 different women. And my greatest hope is that 24th woman holds out and the jury awards her $150 million because he doesn't deserve a dime of that.
I'm glad that one's holding out. I hope the one that's holding out is like crazy rich, doesn't need the money, and just takes this thing all the way. So we see what the award is and all the information comes out. I think that's a good point, Greg. Here's my question for you, though. Who's your squad, Greg? Who's your team? It's obviously not the Browns, right?
I follow players more than I do teams, and I really like Baker. And he hasn't won many more games. He's 28-26 as a starting quarterback. It's not like he's Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. And to give a guy like that a fully guaranteed contract, and then on top of that, Jimmy Haslam makes it, you know, agrees to it with his agent, so he'll only lose $1 million.
I mean, but here's my question, Greg. I know there's always people like you that come down with he should never play again and, you know, all that. And I get it. Look, I get it. I understand that perspective.
What Jordan was able to do.
What he did is horrible. I get it. But here, and I appreciate the call, Greg. Here's my thing, though, about people like Greg or anybody that hits me up on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL. Does it really affect your life? Like, are you going to stop watching NFL games because Deshaun Watson's playing? I don't think so. Like, I almost wonder, this would have been a good question for Andrew Brandt. How much does it really hurt the NFL if Deshaun Watson's suspended for 8 games? Does it really make that much of a difference? If anything, there'll be more buzz when he plays in that 9th game. Everybody wants to see how he plays. Yeah, there will be people that say, oh, it should have been more games. But there's going to be people that say it should be more no matter what it is. If it's a full year, you'll still have Greg in D.C. that'll say he should never be able to play again. So no matter what it is, it won't be enough for some people. I think, obviously, the more games, the more people will be okay with it. But is it really going to – I mean, look, maybe someone can tell me, maybe we can get a different sports business guy on, and they can tell me that 10% of the women NFL, female NFL fans aren't going to watch games if Deshaun Watson's participating in them. Okay, I don't believe that. It's like all the people that would call into my old radio show when the guys were kneeling for the anthem and say, I'll never watch another game. And I used to think to myself, you're calling the NFL station? You're listening to the NFL station and calling the NFL station to tell me you're not going to watch any more NFL games? Like, I'm sorry, Bob. I don't believe you. Like, and you're a Jets fan. Like, you're not going to watch the Jets in the next game? Let's get to one more. Let's get to Tamarcus in Wisconsin. What's up, Tamarcus?
Hey, man. Can you hear me?
I got you great. What's on your mind?
Hey, man. First time ever listening. I'm only calling in. I'm going to try to make this quick. I wish I could get 10 minutes to sit here and chat with you about this, because you're the only person that has said something that made me want to call in and say something. Honestly, like, I care and don't care, and I'm going to tell you why I don't care. Just because, like you said, is it really going to affect your life? Whoever it is that's caring, is it really going to affect your life in any sort of way? Are you going to lose any sleep at night? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you not going to be able to get your kids to school the next day, wake them up to get them to school? Are you going to stop making money at your job because of what Deshaun Watson did? The reason I do care, and this is a petty reason, I am a Packer fan, so the reason I do care is because at the end of the day, since the starting QB is not playing, that's just going to make it even much – that's going to give me one less team to have to worry about if it comes to, let's say, the Packers ever make it back to the Super Bowl, and let's say the Browns were there, or, you know what I mean? Like, you have to try to beat that type of team is what I'm saying. Like, I'm not – I care because it's like, hey, they don't have him anymore. So it's like, I don't have to worry, if that makes sense. Like, I care that he should get suspended because then they don't have a good starting QB that I have to worry about my team losing to, if that makes sense to you. But
no, it does. It does, Tamarcus. Look, that makes sense to me, Tamarcus. And I appreciate the call. if it affects, like, Browns fans should really care. And I think you can make an argument other AFC North fans should care. But other than that, I guess I wonder sometimes about the outrage of people over situations like this. Like, I see a lot of guys on TV, and it's almost like they'll do a solo shot on the camera, and they'll be like, this is horrible. And the NFL needs to send a message that this is horrible. Of course it is. I mean, I've said it a million times. Whether you want to call him a weirdo, a creep, a sexual predator, it's bad. But is it really going to make any difference to me whether he's suspended for 10 games or the whole year? Or whether it's 8 or 12? Not really. I mean, it's not going to affect my life. I'm going to drive home at night. I'm going to hang out with my family. Like, it doesn't make that much of a difference to me. We already know what he did is bad. I think the NFL knows that the punishment's going to be increased. The question in my mind is, I think there's a decent chance they settle. What is the right number? Because I think the number that Sue Robinson put out there of 6, I think that is very different sounding to people than 8 or 10. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go right to Cleveland. Because when you watch any of the videos of Deshaun Watson, the fans are going crazy for him. He's signing autographs. They love him. It is such a messed up society we're in. I mean, if that same guy played for any other team, Browns fans would be calling him a bum and a scumbag and whatever. But because he's on their team, like if he had picked the Falcons or the Saints or the Panthers, Browns fans would be like, he should be suspended a year. He's terrible. But he's theirs now. So they love him and they support him. It's really messed up. Like, people's priorities are way out of whack. So I want to go to Cleveland. I want to find out from Mary Kay Cabot, who's been covering the team forever, exactly what the pulse of the fans are, the pulse of the team, how he's looked. He hasn't played football in forever. Then I'm going to get back to your calls at 855-212-4227 and your tweets at Ross Tucker NFL, or you can email me over at rostucker.com, and I'll get to all of that the rest of the hour. In fact, we don't have another guest till the end of the last hour, so we're going to have a lot of time to discuss this because I still want to know two things. Do you really care? Like, does it really make a big difference to you in your life what his suspension is? And what is the right number of games in your mind? I'm having a blast. My first time filling in for Jim here on the Jim Rome Show, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Rolling along here on a Thursday edition of the Jim Rome Show. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years, including the Cleveland Browns for a very short time, a lovely month back in 2006, where I first met Mary Kay Cabot, who's been covering the team for a long time. We'll get to Mary Kay in a second. You can always check me out on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. I'm on Twitter, Instagram. I think I have a TikTok now. You can tell I'm very prolific on it, at Ross Tucker NFL. I had a viral post on Facebook, over 88,000 comments on Lebanon bologna, which most of you don't even know what it is, but it's delicious, from where I'm from in Pennsylvania. And you can always check me out on my show, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Monday through Friday. Just Google Ross Tucker Football Podcast. But let's get to Mary Kay, because I want to get to the heart of the biggest story in the NFL. And let's get to where it's all going down. And that's in Cleveland. You can check her out on social media. You should, at Mary Kay Cabot, C-A-B-O-T. She's the Pro Football Hall of Fame selector, which is awesome. And she covers the Browns for Cleveland.com. and the Plain Dealer. Mary Kay, it's been a while. How are you?
Yeah, it has been a while. I'm doing well, trying to navigate this very difficult story to cover, and just trying to stay on top of it all.
Yeah, talk about that, because I think people are probably a little curious. What does that mean try to navigate, and why is it difficult? Explain.
Well, it's difficult because, you know, it's very controversial. It's very polarizing. It's a very hot button issue. There are people on both sides of it that, you know, some people can be triggered by the discussions of some of the things that Deshaun Watson is accused of. So you have to be very cognizant and sensitive to all of that. It's very divisive in terms of the fans. I've seen a lot in my many years of covering the Browns, but this is one of the most challenging things ever to cover.
Yeah, you know, I can tell you from my personal experience, Mary Kay, I really hate topics like this because, A, I'd rather be talking about football, and B, you know, I'm always worried that somehow I'm going to offend or hurt someone, especially when I'm just trying to be practical with it. We've got people calling in because I guess sometimes I wonder why people care so much. You know, if you're a guy in Arizona and you're a Cardinals fan, I guess I'm always curious, like, why is the Deshaun Watson punishment so important to you? But I want to start in Cleveland, Mary Kay, where you are. You're at training camp every day. Can you set the scene for me and the listeners and the viewers on CBS Sports Network? What's it like when Deshaun Watson takes the field? What's it like when he signs autographs at the end of practice? What has been the fan reaction there in Cleveland?
Well, the thing to remember about the fans that come out to Browns training camp, those are your dedicated, diehard, we love the Browns fans. So this is not the divided fan base that really is out there. You're preaching to the choir when you are out at Berea at training camp. So these are not the fans that are upset, that are protesting, that are never showing up again. And there is that segment of the fan base. But, you know, these are the fans that love everything about the Cleveland Browns and just want their football team to win. And so he has been very, very well received during training camp. He's mobbed for autographs after practice. Now they kind of got a little bit of a handle on that, so it's not, you know, just such a crazy scene. But, you know, he's cheered. People chant for him. And, you know, it's just like you would, you know, for Nick Chubb or someone. They're excited about him. And that's what it is out there in Berea. But like I said, it's not like that in the minds of everyone. I do find that it is a divided fan base.
So I want to hear more about that because obviously we don't see that. Probably hard for you, Mary Kay, to actually put numbers on it, but you've been the Browns beat writer for a long time. So do you hear from a lot of people that are uncomfortable with it? Do you hear from people that say they won't watch or listen to the games because Deshaun Watson's in town?
Oh, yes. I hear that a lot. And that's why I do have some sense that it is that fans are divided about this issue and that some are basically done. You know, some think the Browns are going to the Super Bowl. And like I said, you know, in terms of trying to cover it, you sort of have to try to, at this point, walk down the middle as best you can and, you know, try to cover the news, but try to cover the football. But, you know, understanding that, you know, there are a lot of people that are upset about this situation. And it's just, you know, you cannot ignore that fact.
Do you believe him, Mary Kay? Do you believe the fans that say, I mean, he signed a long-term contract. It's 5 years. It's fully guaranteed. Do you really believe him that they're not going to watch?
You know, I think that once it gets back to football and once the allegations are not in the news every day, and once people are not hearing words that they're not always necessarily comfortable hearing on the news or reading about in the newspaper, and they start to win some games and things change on the field, then I think that some of the fans that have said right now they're never coming back, you know, they might start to trickle back. I don't know that for sure, but it does seem to me that, you know, that could happen on the part of some.
How has he looked? How's he looked on the field so far?
He's looked great. I mean, they've only had one padded practice so far. So we haven't seen, you know, a ton of real football. But, you know, for the most part, you can see the athleticism. I mean, that's evident immediately. You know what you're looking at when you look out there and you see a Hall of Fame caliber talent like that. I mean, just the agility, the arm talent, the anticipation, the mobility. I mean, you name it. It's just he's got it all. And you can see why the Browns took the chance that they did from a football standpoint. You can see what they were thinking. What they were thinking is, this is a player that's going to take this football team to multiple Super Bowls over the next decade. That's, you know, that's their plan. So so I do think that, you know, that's what you're seeing from a, you know, just from a pure football standpoint.
Talking with Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. She's been covering the Browns since I was there for a lovely month in August of 2006 after Bill Belichick traded me to Cleveland for a conditional seventh-round pick, and that's when I first met Mary Kay. Mary Kay, what about the expectations of the organization moving forward? Now that the NFL has filed this appeal, what are they sort of bracing for or expecting in terms of the eventual punishment for Deshaun?
You know what? I think all along the organization has felt like Deshaun Watson will be on the football field at some point this season. And I don't think they've really wavered from that yet at this point. I still think there's probably some sense that he's going to play some football this year, that perhaps the NFL won't necessarily end up handing out the whole entire year or won't end up being able to finalize the entire year that they want. So I sort of think that that's where it stands right now, that they're, maybe it's wishful thinking, but that they're hoping that he will be back on the field this year.
Last question as it relates to that. So let's say it's 10 games, 8 games, 10 games. Do you think Brissett is good enough that he can keep the Browns in the mix so that Watson still has something to play for when he comes back? Because I guess I look at it like, man, if they suspend him 10 games, he might be coming back to play in 7 essentially meaningless games with the division and conference the Browns are in.
You know, it's tough to say. The defense is so good. They're going to be really, really good this year. And a defense can keep you in a lot of games. A defense and a really good running game. So I think they can scheme it up to win some games, even if Deshaun misses, you know, 10 games or so. I think they can get by and try to stay in the hunt to a certain degree, and that, and then maybe hope Deshaun can come back in the last 7 games and still get them to the playoffs in the final stretch. But, you know, 10 is starting to push it a little bit. 8, I think you can reasonably say, yeah, with half a season, he can still do a lot of good there in those final 8-9 games. So, I think 10, it starts to be the cutoff point where you have to wonder how this is going to go.
Check her out on social media. Almost 200,000 people do, at Mary Kay Cabot, the Browns beat writer for Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. Thank you so much, Mary Kay, for the time, as always. I really appreciate it.
Oh, sure. Thanks for having me, Ross.
Absolutely. She is so good. Really enjoy over the years talking with Mary Kay, and really enjoy talking with you guys. I've got 2 questions that I know some of you still want to chime in on. And we're later on in the show, I'm going to get to preseason games a little bit and why you should watch. But I still need to answer these two questions. Number one, why do you care? Do you really care about Deshaun Watson's punishment? Yes or no? If the answer is yes, why? Like, why is it so important to you? And then what's the right number? Because I have an idea about the right number, and I think the right number might even be worse for Deshaun than if he was suspended the whole year. I'll explain when we return after Rich Ackerman updates you on everything, including my buddy Colton's Deontay Johnson getting a big contract in Pittsburgh. He's so excited over here. Colton has not only gotten me water, he filled up the parking meter. And all he wanted was for me to mention one time his boy DJ got a new contract. So this one's for you, Colton. Rich Ackerman.
Live from New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Ross Tucker on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm still liking hearing that. Guest host Ross Tucker, pretty cool. So nice we're going to do it twice, by the way. I will be once again in Jim's chair, figuratively, not literally, because I'll be doing it from the stadium there at the Pro Football Hall of Fame tomorrow. That should be interesting. We'll see how my shot looks via Zoom on my laptop. Man, I might have to put some makeup on. By the way, I'm loving the interaction. The rest of this hour, and in fact, even the start of next hour, I want to get to a lot of your calls and some of your tweets. Carl in Prescott says Deshaun should be suspended 10 to 12 games, $5 million fine, mandatory counseling. That seems reasonable to me. That seems to make some sense to me, Carl. And in fact, that's the huge tweet. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Here's why I think 10 to 12 games is the perfect. First of all, the counseling should be mandatory. This guy's got issues, man. I mean, he's got some problems. That is not normal behavior. He needs to get that out of his system somehow. I don't know how you do that. I'm not an expert, but there are people that can help him with that. He needs to talk to somebody about why it is that he was doing what he was doing on Instagram and essentially setting these women up for these awkward encounters. At best. Here's why I like the idea of 10 to 12 games. So everybody's upset about 6 games. Doesn't sound like that many. If it was 8, people would be like, oh, it's half the season. It's pretty legit. That's half the season. If it was 10, that sounds like a lot. Double digits, more than half the season. I love the idea of 10 or 12 games. You know why? Because then when he comes back, the Browns are going to be out of it, dude. The Browns are toast if he's out 10 or 12 games. Jacoby Brissett's not that good. The AFC North in general, the AFC North in particular, the AFC in general, it's too good. They'll be done. I kind of like the idea of a big fine, mandatory counseling, volunteer hours, and he's out 10 games. Maybe 12, but at least 10. I want him to come back in November and December and play in meaningless games. Remember, he's getting paid peanuts for these games because of the way they changed his salary. Make him have to come back and play for a team that's 3-7 at that point, maybe 4-6. He's not going to be, after that much time off, he's not going to be good enough to get them back in the running. I think that's the right number. I think the optics of 6 games is bad. People would feel much better about 8, 10, or 12. And I like the idea of him having to play in meaningless games. Let's go to my man Roger out in Palm Springs. What's up, Roger?
Hey, Ross, you're doing a great job, by the way.
Thank you, man. I'm having a blast. Appreciate you guys being so supportive.
Let me give you a little more background before I give you a decision here. I was vice president of 2 NBA teams, 1 baseball team, and held the broadcast radio rights to the Raiders and the Rams when they were still in L.A. Now, it all starts with ownership, and I deplore what the people that own the Browns did by hiring this kid. They did the due diligence, and they knew they were getting a bad product, but that had nothing to do with winning. They wanted to win regardless of whatever they put on the field, and the owners that I've worked with have more class than that.
Roger, hold on a second. Let me just say something real quick, Roger. Let me say something. The teams were lining up to try to get him. The Saints, the Falcons, the Panthers. You know, I know the Browns are taking a lot of heat. They weren't the only team that wanted this guy. And by the way, if there were other teams that needed a quarterback, they would have all wanted him too. And Roger, you've been around pro sports enough to know it's not all choir boys on every team. I mean, I played for 5 teams over 7 years. I can name at least 5 bad people, bad human beings. Maybe not to Deshaun Watson's level, But I can tell you guys that were revered in the community, but I know they were scumbags. That's everywhere, Roger.
Well, I don't disagree. I think you're right on that. The problem is if the owners don't do anything, if they don't clean up their own act, the public has no choice.
Yeah, and I appreciate the call, Roger. Here's what I think, okay? I think Jimmy Haslam wants to win. I think Jimmy Haslam wants to win big. I think Jimmy Haslam realized you never get a chance at a top 10 quarterback in his prime like this. He knew he would take a lot of heat. He knew Deshaun would be suspended. This is a long-term play. After the discipline's over, whatever it is, 6 games, 8 games, 10 games, 12 games, a whole year, he's going to eventually be the starting quarterback for the Browns. And he's going to be the starting quarterback of the Browns for at least 4 years. And the Browns have a chance to be very good while he's there. And maybe he can make amends. If they win a Super Bowl, I already know what the story is going to be like. One unbelievable comeback story. He's totally rehabbed his, reputation. He's changed his ways. I saw it to some extent in Philadelphia when they brought in Michael Vick, which is a totally different situation. But there were a lot of people that were very opposed to that. But by the end of Vick's time in Philadelphia, I never heard anybody talking about the dogs anymore, really. People weren't that bothered by it. It's like my parents used to say to me, this too shall pass. And right or wrong, time does heal. Different time for different people, but it does. And he's going to start a quarterback for them for 4 years. And as much heat as they're taking now, that's probably as much a claim as the Haslam are going to get when they get the Browns potentially to their first ever Super Bowl. Just think about what that would be like in that city. Let's get to John. Speaking of a city like that, let's get to John up in Buffalo. What's up, John?
Ross. Well, Ross, first and foremost, Mighty Taco, Duff's, and Ted's have not been the same in the last 20 years since you've left.
Why not?
Well, they've been missing you.
Where we would go all the time? We would go to the Big Tree right down the street from the stadium. And not only would we crush all the wings, I'm telling you, on a Friday, our whole table would be filled with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. I think maybe Bledsoe drank Labatt Blue Light. But the whole table would be filled with Labatt Blue Light, okay? You know what I loved that I've never seen again? John?
What's that?
Chicken fries. You ever heard of chicken fries? Tree Inn had chicken fries. It's basically like chicken tenders, but in the shape of a fry, and you just dip them in these different sauces. They are amazing. Yep. And I shouldn't even be talking about this right now. I should tell all of you enough. I'm out of here. And instead of telling you guys to go to myfrontpagestory.com, I should start a company called chickenfries.com and be so rich that I can buy an NFL team because that's how good they are.
Well, enough with the levity. I am a father of five. I am an uncle to a niece who was raped by a family member. And every time a predator like Deshaun Jackson is... is not dealt with in a more firm manner, it legitimizes his activities through sports. No different than LIV Golf and the Saudi Arabian government. You can minimize the predator by endorsing their physical ability and what they do, but it does not change the fact that they are a predator. And they need to be held accountable as such. My opinion, he should never see a field again. He should never be carrying anything that has the shield on it. He has disgraced men. He has disgraced human beings. He has disgraced his family. He is nothing more than a complete and total waste of time.
John, really appreciate the call, and I do appreciate you sharing that personal example. And that's when it starts to get emotional for me and other people when they have examples like that. And by the way, while he was talking, I looked up the definition of a sexual predator. It's a person seen as obtaining or trying to obtain sexual contact with another person in a metaphorically predatory or abusive manner, analogous to how a predator hunts down its prey. So the sexual predator is thought to hunt for his or her sex partners. Guys, gals, he's a sexual predator. I mean, I just read the definition. He's a sexual predator. And I don't know. So the thing that John said that I don't necessarily agree with is like he should never be able to play again. I don't really believe in that. You know, we have a society where people have to serve their time. They have to pay their debt to society one way or the other. He sort of has to pay his debt to the NFL world. Because remember, there's no criminal charges here. He's going to be disciplined. It's 6 games at a minimum. So he is going to have to pay for what he's done. And like we've had 2 people call up now and say he should never play again. That's just so unreal. It's just not going to happen. Which leads me back to my whole point, which is that for some people, they're never going to be happy no matter what his discipline is. There is no number that everybody will be happy with. I think if he was suspended for a whole season, I think that would get a pretty good approval rating. I think people would be pretty happy with that. I actually think 10 or more people will be fine with. I'm on board with 10 or 12 games. I want him to have to play meaningless games in December and January in Cleveland. That's worse than him being able to sit out the whole year. To actually go out there when the team's out of it and just playing out the string. Got to get more of your thoughts on this. And we have a football game tonight. I love the football. I love it. I'm going to talk to you about it. And I'm going to tell you exactly why you should watch the preseason games, at least for your team. It's the Jim Rome Show. I'm Ross Tucker. Thanks for stopping by.